So do we go?
You're live again.
Okay, so hello and welcome to this week of Eau Claire Linux User Group. Today is Thursday, November 13th, and we are without internet again.
Just so nobody's listening to us right now.
Just because we like it. We like it without internet like that.
We're old school.
That's right.
We are old school, yes.
Internet's for losers.
Where is the...
Yes. Actually, what we like to do, we like to take the packets and we like to hand deliver them. That's what we do here. Because if you want to be a real man, that's what you do.
We're implementing speaker.
That's exactly. So shall we do our two minutes of fame?
Oh, nice.
Very nice.
All right, I'll start off. My name's Gary.
Recovering Windows user?
Yeah, I guess something on that order. But I installed the new Ubuntu. Actually went pretty good. Nothing, no big hangups or anything. So I was getting my programs up and going and stuff. And I got everything working, except that my PDF files don't seem to work right. I don't know what the deal is, but... try to open it, but it opens for an instant and then it just shuts. There's no information there.
In the worst case, you could install Adobe Acrobat Reader.
They got a Linux version of that?
That's right.
Oh, they do. Okay, I'll try that. Because I was using like that Ebiance.
Yes. It works for me, that Ebiance, so whatever.
Yeah, it worked for my old one. You know, my old Linux worked just fine, so I don't know what I got. It must have something set up wrong, but. Then I played a little bit with that. It's called XBMC, Xbox Media Center. That's kind of cool. The only thing that confuses me is when you're playing a video back, the sound is way out of line with what's going on in the movie, and they got this audio offset. You know, it's a time adjustment thing. Why do they choose to do that?
That must have been something you set up.
Yeah, but if they play it in VLC or one of those other ones, it works perfect.
I've seen that too. Some programs are just off. I have a video clip that plays perfectly in Windows. I played it nice and long by 30 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, it isn't even in the ball game.
It's
that game's just pretty buggy. Yeah, I think that's not actually running in the Xbox.
Oh, you think that's part of the deal, huh?
It's, yeah.
So, but anyway, I thought that was interesting, so. So I just, that's it, I think, as far as, you know, that kind of
stuff. So far, I'm happy with that 8.10?
Yeah, there's some improvements in there that, I think, you know, there's more stuff, and it's, I like it, yeah.
Cool.
But, you know, I moved up from, I think mine was back from, it might have been three releases ago.
7.4? 7.10?
Gusty, was that the...
I think Gutsy
by 3.4. Gutsy is
7.10.
He'll be a year old then. Gutsy yeah. Older than that. Maybe not though. But yeah, it wouldn't update on its own. If you hit the update button, it got a big error.
It's just saying too old.
Yeah, which kind of surprised me. But anyway, that's my doings for the week.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah.
How about you guys?
Oh, yeah, well, I actually gave Myron a little program called Regex Coach, which is a nice little thing. If anybody wants it, I have it on a stick here, and you can take it. It has a very good tutorial for it. It's a little program where you put a particular string in, and then a sample in, and then you experiment with Regex expressions, and it shows you what you're actually able to pull out of that.
And
then the other thing I fooled around with was something called TiddlyWiki. Anybody run across that yet?
No.
I'm throwing that out so that some of you can play with it, and then I can ask you questions about making it work. It's basically a wiki as a single HTML file, and it has what it calls shadow wikis
that
are not actually visible, but they help you manipulate the wiki system. And actually, it appears that eventually you would be able to.
I don't think the library is going
to. It's a local HTML file to start out with. But they have plugins which I think ultimately enable you to access it through HTTP and still you know, do wiki things with it. It actually is quite complicated. I haven't quite got to the point because you need to have a password plug-in and an HTTP plug-in and then upload plug-in and so on and so forth. And I haven't quite figured out.
It's to make your own wiki system.
You would have a wiki system and you have to save it through their system. You can't use a save from your browser. And but once you get that file completed, you could email it or FTP it anywhere you want. And it looks like it's got some potential. It's called TiddlyWiki. I think you can get it at TiddlyWiki.org.
Well, yeah, we use that at my work, and we actually use that exclusively on our projects.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like a really substantial thing. It's just, I think it's got a bit of a learning curve. You know, you're going to have to learn how to use it.
It's just very straightforward, and you do what it says, and it doesn't work.
Well, yeah.
It's nice to get more off the thumb drive and things like that, too. You don't need a whole.
Right, right. And I'm looking at it as a potential solution for being able to pass around shopping lists off of our local server so that we don't have to remember to. Everything we wanted to take with us, we can, while we're at the store, go to the little home server and take the shopping list, and also as a central repository for bookmarks, so that whatever browser I'm using or whatever computer I'm on, I'd be able to use the same set of bookmarks from. So it looks like it could work for that.
The only thing, that's great what they're saying. The only thing what I want to say is that there are bases. And you see that actually the screen is shaking and makes the projector out of focus.
There's no crossover.
Nice basis.
Kind of substantial, isn't it?
Yeah.
So did you? What was it? Was
Regex Coach?
Coach.
Here, actually, here, what you can do, Lois, is I think this will work on your system. Just put it in and untar it, and it has a binary in there.
I just wonder if there is, so to put it in a.
Put it in, you'll see what it is. Just untar that, and there will be a executable file along with the tutorial. And then you know what you're trying to get. It's really quite a nice thing. I mean, the tutorial takes you step by step through some very complex concepts.
So this guy here.
That's it.
Now mine does that. Why is that happening?
It's too touchy. I'd like to have different view.
Okay, sure.
Was it
sweet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you just need another drink
right
away there?
No, we're good for a while, yeah.
I need to,
We have to conserve one driver here.
No, I don't want to encrypt. I click on encrypt.
Oh,
I didn't want to encrypt. I wanted to unmount. Okay. What is that?
Just double click it. Don't you have that? You should be able to just double click it.
I want to unmount it.
Right. Double click it and it'll open up in your utility. Won't it?
Oh.
On mine, all I have to do is.
Oh, I know.
There you go.
I know. I wanted to unmount your drive.
Oh, yeah, you can do that.
Sorry.
It's called music, but that's just because, I don't know, I used to have music on it at one point, I guess.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Cool. How about you?
I'm ecstatic.
With?
With this new version.
So stuff works?
I got it downloaded finally on a better place and installed it. I downloaded Adobe Flash Player, which I could not do before. I downloaded Movie Player, which I could not do before, and it's so easy even I could do it. I mean, I didn't have to do nothing. You click on something, it says, do you want to download these add-ons? Yes. Get some. Do you want to install them? Click yes. Done. We're talking,
Is your wireless working?
No, not yet. I haven't even looked at it yet. I've been looking with this other stuff. Okay. If my wireless goes as easy as that, hallelujah,
Yes.
But even if it don't, this other stuff is good. Now I wouldn't be afraid to, put on my kid's computer and say, here, before, if they got stuck, screwed. So, this is going to be a real competition for Microsoft. The old version, that was I mean, you have to be a real computer guy for that thing, but this year is just for anybody, you know.
So you think it's getting to regular people's...
Yeah, a village.
Main Street.
Yeah, yeah, this is the one, you know.
The only thing, you know, you're saying for your kids, if they need a new computer, I would say instead of actually installing it, instead of buying a computer at a Best Buy and then installing that on, I think the better route is to actually install a computer with a Linux on it. Let's say like to buy it from Dell or from somewhere there. Because then you are guaranteed that your hardware is going to work. But so like you bought your computer somewhere, whatever.
Yeah, mine's a couple years old. Yeah. You know, it works fine, but there's our brand new. They got less than 6 months old on that computer. So they're Dells.
Yeah, you have an issue with the wireless and.
But that's more in my understanding of how to use the computer probably than anything else. You know, understanding Ubuntu. But now with the GUI is perfect. You know. Can't do nothing wrong. The only thing is once in a while, I don't know what I do, I don't know what happens. So you just move your hand or something and she's gone. And it's out of Firefox, it's everything. It's just gone. It's done.
Yeah, sometimes it's actually when it's too touchy as far
well,
as
what's too touchy? What's
let's say like what I was doing, so my touchpad was too touchy.
Oh, yeah. You mean the program closes? Or
the whole thing just goes.
Does it ask you?
No, it just gone. And I'm back to the Ubuntu, the main page, the login page. Yeah. Firefox is gone, and my whatever website was on.
Control Alt Backspace.
Yeah.
That'll kill your X server. It'll reboot into, or it'll restart into a login screen.
Yeah, happen.
Yeah, that would, you know, this is just. You know, if I'm clicking on something or pressing enter, it just, bam, she's gone. So, but it's not all the time, so it's occasionally.
So you don't get anything like this?
No.
Then it goes through the black screen, and then here I have, let's say, like, second screen.
No,
so you don't?
I don't get that far back. It goes to the login, first page, you know. It's really weird.
Yeah, I don't have that.
And sometimes I can go on the... On the touchpad, it's back. And the next time, can't bring it up. You know,
because I just had to wait.
Huh?
Just had to be patient.
Oh. Well, it wouldn't have.
Byron, what are you doing?
Gone completely dead.
I'm trying to set up a static IP address.
Oh, Robert. I was going to say I checked the status page and there was an IP address.
Well, what did I do? I didn't do too much last week, I don't think so.
I did the newsletter, that's got pace of time. I did.
But I do the newsletter all the time, so there's nothing special for me.
Well, I appreciate you putting that together.
Nothing special to you.
I read it.
Well, I'm happy that people read it.
Yeah. To us. You know what makes you wonder how many people read it on the internet?
I think some. You know, and the longer the website is up, I think that more and more people actually stumble upon and come back. We have in a day, we have about 150 visitors, unique visitors.
Is it going up?
It's not going that much up. It's sort of, you know, from 130 to 150 unique a day. You know.
Depends on
the
weather.
It depends on weather, yes. Absolutely.
All right, this can't be from work.
Well,
has a lot to
you're
do
dead.
With
no, I just
have.
Need to switch the
people who link to us because that increases your ranking in Google.
No.
If what?
You know, it's funny. You do a search for Eau Claire users group, and you still come up with that picture. When we were sitting in that back room, I remember who had that. You know that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's like the third entry that comes up, and it was the middle
best.
Of last winter, I think.
Yeah,
we did that.
It was. Yeah, it's the best. Why it is because it was on a YouTube and it's well indexed. That's all what it is.
Yeah.
So, well, that was about it.
Okay.
How about you?
I went to my class. We're working on our final project for my network design installation and troubleshooting class, which is basically building a data center. We're going to have three, we have three racks in a closet, basically. Each rack is going to be a separate location. We'll have, like, I remember different WAN connections between each. I think one's going to be, I don't know, just different WAN connections between the racks. And we were going to try and do some virtualized servers.
Good. Give us the news.
So what did you do this week?
What did I do?
He's not done.
Oh, no. Yes. I'm sorry. Me bad.
Napster good.
Napster good.
Were you
connected? Should be. Says it was.
Finished. Was it because you were close to a router?
Shouldn't have had any. Shouldn't have anything.
You just had so many.
I did nothing.
You know, I wonder. You know,
the cable. Got me the cable.
Can I connect to Linksys and update? It still says DHCP.
I only got it to work one time, so cable.
Well, I'm connected to Linksys and Linksys router.
Right.
And it's
not a cable.
Well, why don't we just put a, get a new cable then?
It's a long cable.
Well, yes, next week
I'll bring my cable box. A static IP in the router, though.
I tried messing with that. I wasn't able to get it to work. And then I set it back to DHCP and it worked. Temporarily.
Man.
Well, I'm getting all kinds of things. I got an IP address. I have a good signal, but I don't have a DNS server.
What kind of cable is it? What, just like you plug it?
Yeah.
You know, I think that for today, because you have the stuff up, I think you are going to get a projector.
I don't have your website up.
You open a window, you walk in there, and get a website.
So you got the newsletter, don't you?
You can kind of do connect to that. Actually, you know what? We could probably hold this. One person can have a network.
But it's not long enough.
There.
It is not long enough.
How is that? That's not going to work.
Yeah, because it'll work as a regular switch.
Just put it in your Ethernet port.
At least it should. It should connect using a separate subnet.
All right.
It will never be enough.
If we do, yeah, it should
work. We're on hyperdrive.
Hyperdrive?
I don't know.
You might have to turn off
the DHCP. You'll have to unplug that link from the uplink and plug it into the switch side.
I'm connected.
Actually, you might have to disable the DHCP server, but other than that, it should work.
No, because it's still behind the net. From the uplink port is netted to the switch.
It's not plugged into the uplink port.
Oh,
it's
plugged into the... No, I do have stuff.
You do have?
Yep, okay.
You got internet?
No phone.
Sure.
I don't have stuff.
Give me another 5 minutes, I'll have
that. Let's try changing the default gateway to router.
So this morning,
make the default gateway 1.1.
So
the whole point of my story happened that I convinced them to do virtualization in Ubuntu server with VMware rather than server 2003.
Very nice.
So
he got away from that Zen.
Nope, he's still doing Zen, which I
tell him to
come. I VMware today. What the hell is VMware server?
That's nice. 5 minutes.
What is it?
ESXi server. It's a free
server. It's free.
It's free.
Yes.
It doesn't have all the bells and whistles. You're limited to like 6 CPUs and I don't know how many VMs, but
8 gigs
or anything.
Only 8 gigs over RAM.
Yeah.
It's got limited.
All you want is just
either of them would use it.
Times.
Yeah.
No,
and that's expensive.
Yeah.
He's using Zen, you said?
a license for Zen 4.0, or well, the free version of Zen that will do that, because the newer version of Zen doesn't allow you to share.
It was a long time ago that it was still 32-bit. Right now, I can't get 32-bit.
Yeah, well, it's the original music, so I can't get it. Not working? I didn't have the 64-bit.
I think it's the wire, because if I plug it into my laptop, I can get it. But if it's plugged into the router, I can get it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, bring me a
new wire. That's what you're thinking
about
here.
Yeah.
$35, you can get 100 feet.
No, not even.
Not even that much? Or what? I just bought a 100-footer.
I've got a box that's probably about 300 feet
long. Oh,
that's what we're trying to do right now. This should work as a thumbnail adapter as well. So we're trying to set it up to do that.
Is there a good photo program in Linux that you can download that anybody knows about? Or the GIMP?
What photo? A photo album?
Yeah, like you've got a DVD with photos, so you want to monkey with them, change them, and this and that. Huh?
If you want to manipulate, yes, it's GIMP. If you want to have it as an album, then Picasa.
If you want to go in and crop photos,
that's
Red Eye, simple stuff, I would get from Picasa or just use UpSpot. GIMP
might be overkill.
GIMP is overkill for
learning curve.
Picasa, huh?
Google is a Google program. It runs in Wine, so it's not a true Linux program, but they have a Ubuntu file that you can point click to install it. It works pretty well. So.
Yeah. The other one was GTCam. I don't care too much for UpSpot. Some people like it.
That's pretty simple. I only had I think I had problems with it because I wanted to have too much control over my directory names and this stuff. And it's one of those things where you can just let it do what it wants to do and you work
as it. Change now. It works fine. Yeah. If you're talking about the GIMP, it's not being able to do CMYK.
Yeah, no.
I heard somebody say that.
Yeah, it was me.
The newest version, they did make updates to it. They've got the beginnings of CMYK and other color spaces, including 32-bit RGB color as well.
So S-Plot is actually the default photo manager.
Oh,
the album, the photo album.
Okay. Now you're using that Evolution Mail, you said, right?
I'm using Thunderbird.
Thunderbird, okay. So I just was messing around with Gmail, Google.
Yes.
They got everything. I mean,
and I'm running Gmail through Thunderbird.
Through Thunderbird.
Yes.
The Gmail is web-based, though.
Yeah, but
I
whenever it comes up, you can actually set up that the Thunderbird will query your Gmail mailbox.
Well, and that was Evolution Mail does the same thing, right, or not?
They don't seem to have as good a junk filter, do they, on the Evolution? I could never figure it out.
Use Thunderbird.
It's Thunderbird.
So what's going to be the advantage if I use Thunderbird instead of just using Google Mail? What do I gain?
I use Google Mail, honestly, if you just want to read email, send email, and
this is what it is.
Yeah.
If you log in to a Gmail, they will put a cookie on your computer.
Yeah.
And that cookie will never go away. And they will know wherever you go, even though you are not logged in.
That's why you set your browser to delete cookies.
Yeah. Even though I said that, it still kept the cookie.
What browser are you using?
Firefox.
Use Opera.
Opera works.
Opera will delete cookies.
Opera will. But Firefox, for whatever reason, because they have the advertising contract.
If you're going to be paranoid, don't use Google.
If
you don't mind it, then
that's about it. Well,
it depends. Paranoid to certain points.
Deleting cookies isn't going to save you from anything. There's nothing that's going to do.
They'll save you from the internet.
They're trying to find you better.
You don't get fed without cookies. That's all.
Delicious.
Yeah. There's always cheesecake.
There's always a cheesecake.
There's always Dev No.
Yeah, yeah. So you can actually have it set up that I have multiple accounts there. So
at Google?
Yeah, so I have 1, 2, 3, 4 Gmail mailboxes. So then that would be actually your advantage.
It'll take all three of them and bring them into Thunderbird.
It brings it into Thunderbird and you have it there. Okay. So that's where you don't have to interact.
I just forward my Yahoo back to the Gmail and it won't go.
Yeah. Well, Google says they'll go get your AOL mail or whatever for you too. I don't know if that works. I never tried it. But
that's, I have a Yahoo mail contact forever and I just wrote all the Google now.
Yeah.
Yeah, they want your eyes fixed to the Google site. Is
right,
what they want.
You can read your email and put a special eye on it.
You know, actually, I did that. That's why I have a glass eye, because my second eye is actually good on the screen. Just to satisfy Google's requirement,
there you know.
Yeah, they couldn't sell me anything in a million years anyhow, so I don't give a damn what ad they put on there, as long as it ain't obnoxious, you know.
Yeah.
AOL, and you want to get obnoxious,
it's
yeah.
It's like we're using Yahoo because it's just flashing stuff.
Yeah.
What you need to do is to have this little guy here, you know, that's AV blocker,
mm-hmm.
And then here down here, it's no scripts and you are safe.
Oh, yeah?
It doesn't jump, it doesn't do anything.
No, that's on what?
Yeah,
on Firefox. On Firefox?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't do anything, that's not.
Oh, so you want
to. That has the sense you go to anything. Like, anything.
Yeah, so? Problem?
Depends on the way it is.
Well, you can, if you trust the site.
But if you want to block it.
Oh, what do you do is then you are saying, oh, this doesn't work, I still want to see it. Then you go down there and say, temporary allowed, and then you are done. Oh, if you say, oh, I like this website, so I'm going to put it on whitelist. After some time, you train it, you know, and wherever you go on a website, you don't know, so you don't trust it first. Yes, I think so. Who? Yeah. How about you? You can have your 2 minutes right now. Start.
Not too much exciting. Install Intrepid. Been working pretty good until about 3 hours ago. Installed some Sweet Dell package on my laptop and it really filled my wireless internet and some other things. I did buy a bunch of stuff from Knuckle and so I bought some stickers. If you want to put Knuckle stickers or Luna stickers on their laptops or
very nice.
So how was hooking up your wireless? Was that hard or?
Wireless is fine until 3 hours ago.
I mean, the installation is what I'm saying.
Pretty good. I think I still kind of want to just start from scratch again. And there's some couple of issues. Well, pretty good.
Here you go, sir.
Oh, maybe an 8 out of 10.
Huh?
8 out of 10.
Oh.
Yeah, I would say that I like this release much better than 8.4.
Yeah, I'm also running 64 bits, so sometimes a little iffy, especially Flash still.
Really? I haven't had any problems with Flash in 64 bits.
I've actually had better luck in 64 bits.
I've had better luck, 32. Definitely. Well, 32, but yeah. That's what I was thinking about.
Actually I've better luck with 64-bit over the 32-bit.
Like
the 32-bit, well, I'm using Fedora, so the 32-bit release has got a lot more bugs than the 64-bit release.
Is this a stick on a window on a car?
Yeah, I think so.
Go for it.
Window plane? Put it right on your screen.
I'll put that on my side window. I'll think I got ADT or something. You know, the security, yeah. It won't break in.
Byron will take some.
I can't even touch them. I'll spontaneously combust.
I gave you Fedora stickers, so.
I like the gel sticker. Where did you get all of these? I ordered them from Canacle.
You ordered them?
Yeah. I just really wanted a,
how much did it go?
It was a keychain, but like shipping was like $25. I was like, order everything on their,
because it was coming from overseas. Really,
yeah.
$25 for shipping?
No, and it was pretty expensive. It was like $15.
Jesus.
Yeah. Anything over about $1 is expensive.
They're from shipping. UK or something.
Oh, so they came from England then?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's exciting.
I thought they had a trial.
So where is Canada? Oh, I thought it was in the...
It is.
Australia?
No, England? It's in Great Britain. Yeah,
I've got a small keychain and pioneer.
You're official.
Apparently.
Did you get your decoder ring?
I didn't. I didn't buy the whole thing.
So, literally,
dude.
Oh, what?
You know, the stone throw, stone throw is?
Yeah.
Yep. You, during December, you order up, you know, the second floor, there's a...
Do you have one of those red or blue? Blue powder floor?
No, but it's like labeled, so it's all that.
Oh.
from a Christmas story.
Yeah. See that one, so.
You can actually get them light lamps?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm sure you can.
Cool.
That's 100 and some bucks, by the way.
My wife and I have one of them.
Cool. How about you, Adam?
I don't know what I do with Linux this week. I saved 5 gigs of drive space on my laptop using FSLink. I put a bunch of duplicate photos and a bunch of other backup files I made. Consolidated it.
That's a lot of stuff. You've done, you deleted Wild Pinsler's movie. Yes.
I made enough room to put an OPS or Pinsler's movie. But other than that, I did install into the studio at home. Finally got to play with that with the audio apps a little bit. I kind of quit doing this up my laptop and then I do a core and finding the desktop as much. Much more fun to play with a large monitor when you're dealing with mixers and sliders and stuff all over. So, mid-6 has my eye. So.
Which one?
Mid-6. They have a new feature, website blocker ad they built, which is pretty simplistic, but the.
He likes what
the
they
unblocked. Example of it, yeah, they were blocking www.microsoft.com in the example they showed. For the, you know, parental website blocker. You know, first example they use, they block Microsoft. In good humor. But, I don't know, because I had that.
I don't know.
I'm always changing the thing. I've got you.
The math is pretty.
Oh,
he's a well-kept man.
Oh yeah,
that's
spokesman for hair care products.
For who?
Some hair care, Nexus or one of
those. Actually, I would say that K.10 is probably well received, unless you want to run Ubuntu. And there were some issues with Ubuntu.
Like I said, the Windows server.
Excuse me?
Is that the Windows server?
It's Myth TV.
Oh, okay.
Myth Ubuntu is just the Kubuntu version of Myth Ubuntu?
It's
the KDE version?
No, it's pre-done Myth TV with Ubuntu as a back end of it. So.
Just like Mythdora is the Myth with the Fedora back end.
Yes.
You know, when they say like an audio streamer is built on some platform or something, you see that all the time. It's built.
GStreamer?
You know, yeah, GTK streamer or something. It seems like they're always saying it uses this.
It's just whatever it's using in a bag.
Okay.
That's not what it means. It doesn't mean anything to you as far as regular users, you know, unless you're out of programming.
Yeah. I was considering installing Fedora.
It's good. I'm telling you.
You never stick with the defaults anyway. You know that.
Oh no, I'm getting too lazy. I'm trying to.
I was just kind of bummed they took the Echo icons out. I mean, they're a little cartoony, but they're actually, I don't know.
You can probably still download them.
You can get them. Yeah. Normal looking.
Well, they probably have a package for it. I mean, if it was one of their release candidates.
Yep, if you go look for the Echo icon thing, like I said, the little cart line here. They're actually done with a project in mind, so it's a complete set of icons. Sometimes it's going to be a set of icons.
Four icons that don't match with anything.
Yeah. These actually look pretty good.
Fedora.
You know, if I would have known that, I would have brought you a sticker of Fedora too. But I gave it all away.
Yeah, my Fedora sticker's getting kind of old. Look at that, wear and tear.
So what a sticker would I give you?
Okay, I haven't used it yet. I'm waiting until I put the new version on.
Then it's going to be over there.
Put it on the bottom.
Do I have to smoke?
Yeah.
Love that.
You want to get my bill for me?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll bring the pop there too for you.
Okay.
What should we do? Does somebody have any discussion on your topic? Air product person?
I was very disappointed with my class today. They were nearly unwilling to use any open source products. Or anything. They wanted to virtualize Linux and Novell on top of Microsoft Service 2003.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know why. And people thought I was injured.
No, that's a lot of the things, it is what people are used to. You know, they are used to XYZ, and they're saying, well, we need to have another operating system. Well, we are school, we are going to pay another license, so well, maybe we will get a Linux there.
Linux can't be a
school. No, another thing is a lot of your classmates, your online classmates, they were gamers. That's all they know. They went into the computer side because, oh, I want to like playing games.
Plus the ads on TV, you see that.
And I don't want programs.
University of Phoenix.
Yeah.
It's like, who do you like
right?
Yeah. I don't know, there's some good guys. I mean, there's some guys who really know their stuff. There's some guys who really know their stuff. But they, you know, they, I get a lot of comments like, I just want something that's going to work. I just want to do it. But it's going to be good.
Yeah, Windows always works. Microsoft Hypervisor is
actually. I like that.
Microsoft Hypervisor? I didn't know Microsoft had their own Hypervisor.
Is it virtual? That's virtual pretty good. From what I hear.
Is the hypervisor what they are giving you the coupon for Novell? Is that their hypervisor?
I don't know. I've heard pretty good things about it from people who love it.
Didn't they just buy that?
I
put their own
brand on it?
Because I think didn't that come from virtual PC, and then they just rebranded it and now they're selling it?
That could be.
So that's probably why it's good. Wait until they add a whole bunch of Microsoft extensions, it'll go downhill quick, just like everything else.
What is this? Embrace?
Embrace, extend, extinguish, or exterminate. Your choice. Microsoft's business model.
Embrace,
extend.
Yeah, you bet. It's really EEEPC.
Yeah, EEE.
Pretty good.
You were here without Android?
I was getting itchy because I didn't know
if I was getting hot. So you felt like your hand was gone.
Android separation anxiety.
Oh. I like that new page on the Linux, you know, when you open up the new desktop, you know.
Okay.
It's just clean and clear, and you know, way better than the other one. And it's just a default, just whatever came up. I didn't monkey with it. That's another plus.
But it's still brown, you know. So that's minus.
You know what they could keep is that stupid picture. The Intrepid Ibex. I mean, you look at that thing, it's like what?
All that brown, whatever the hell.
It looks like a tabletop.
Yeah. Brown.
Who picks those? Is that the Richard Stallman?
They paid somebody a lot of money for that.
Whoever picks them has got to be colorblind, I'll tell you that.
It's the branding thing.
But I mean, it'd be nice if you could figure something out of it. You could almost see some kind of an outline there or something.
It's the Android phone, and if you type reboot, it will reboot the Android phone console.
What company is Android? Who is what is that? Google, yeah, that's their software.
Yeah, it's LG, is it or not?
Yeah, but it's Android is the software, yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Now, tell us more about Android.
I got some new apps for it. I don't know.
No, tell us more about it. Like the, give us the general overview and then go into specifics.
There you have it.
Yeah.
It's, actually, what it is, it's
a phone operating system based on Linux, but it's open source. So you can, Google is sponsored, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah. Most of it. So you can go to Google and get the source code.
Yes.
Write your own applications for it.
I think there was a toolkit just this week released.
The update to it or something?
Yeah, something like that.
And that's the LG phone?
It's not LG.
It's T-Mobile, it's an HTC phone.
It's never heard of it.
HTC?
HTC is a maker of the handset.
Like Thailand.
Yeah.
They go from all overseas like everything else.
Oh, yeah.
But in and of itself, it's another phone operating system. It's different. It's open source. I think every other day there's 5 or 6 new applications that show up in the marketplace.
So how often do you have to reboot it?
I haven't rebooted it in a couple of weeks.
Oh, that's so weak.
And I have had it for a couple of weeks.
I thought if you are going to compete with the Windows Mobile.
I used to have a Windows Mobile phone, and if I didn't reboot the phone every morning, about halfway through the day, I wouldn't be able to make phone calls and just start. But this one I haven't. I plug it in and I don't even think about it. So it's just kind of a glitch.
Nice.
I just need to find. They've got the Java programs, Java ME, you get for your phones. I have an emulator here to play those. And I've got a friend of mine at Oregon Trail.
Did he
gotta figure out where he got that? He's thinking it might be able to play.
Is he going to die from dysentery?
Might start early.
What else? No, you just shoot buffalo. There's all sorts of them running around. You can kill like 5 or 6 in one outing.
Depends on where you are. Sometimes they're never.
As long as you don't break an axle and have to spend the winter in the mountains.
Yeah.
No, you don't shoot anything unless it's a buffalo.
Tip your way in with you and Missouri
That's what we always did. We just went out buffalo. We shot like 10 or 12 of them. We couldn't carry the meat, but we didn't care. It was about shooting the buffalo.
What was your name there? Buffalo Bill?
Something like that, yeah.
No, it's, the thing I like most about it is, I do use Google for email, contacts, and everything. And when I got this, I punched in my username, password, and I had all 3 calendars I subscribed to on my phone instantly. All my contacts are there, my emails, and I didn't even have to. I hardly use the browser to go to Google anymore, but it's all in my phone.
Wow.
So, you sold your soul to Google.
It's something Google built, and I don't know if it works.
Is that the Chrome?
It doesn't say, I don't know. It doesn't have flash in it though, so I can't show it.
I think that's the idea that they that's why they have Chrome to actually create the ecosystem.
It has its own YouTube player, so I know it can play flash.
Thank God.
So you need to see more dogs chasing the tail. Yeah. That's very important.
YouTube isn't necessarily flash, though. They have 2 different formats for, like, on phones. They don't actually play video using flash. They use some other format.
I'm not streaming out.
Yeah, they stream it out in a different format. I don't know if that's it. It's not a flash applet at all. If they actually stream a video,
or is it
phones are able to play.
The nature of
But I don't have any more information on it than that.
We don't have 3G cell service here, which is a faster data service for cell phones. So this all travels over the slow.
So it's probably
GPRS, I think, in this area. So
yeah, it's like.
So you can get data service, but it's painfully slow. What you need to do is hook it up to a Wi-Fi hotspot or something.
If you look real close, you can see the bits going out of it. They're going out.
Yeah, it's like that hand delivering of the packets.
They go flying off. You can kind of see them.
Yeah, at least it works.
That's something like downloading stuff on my satellite at home. 3 kilobytes per second.
That's a little
slow. 3K. Yeah. I've been looking up these. I've been installing satellite phones in hospitals on this project I've been working on the last couple of weeks, and their data connection is like 19K. I thought that was pretty terrible.
19 big K?
That's 3K is slow, I'll tell you.
Yeah, we're now 19,200.
Yeah, that's a standard kilobit byte, 19.2. I see that all the time in electronics.
It's 19 kilobit. Well, okay. Baud is a big
I'm just,
Wow, that's really slow, isn't it?
Yeah, it takes a lot of 3G.
Yeah, 56K is like dial-up for that. So they may never get that, but that's a big
problem. Well, the FCC regulates it. It says that you can only achieve speeds of 52K.
On a 56K system.
They always got the little asterisk. The FCC says...
Shall we go on the newsletter?
Sure.
Did somebody read anything?
Some stuff, I think.
There was actually a few articles about Songbird, so they are going to have a 1.0 release. Did somebody read that?
Surprisingly, they're using it, actually.
Are you using it?
I use it on Windows, actually, but surprisingly good.
Did they get under 100 meg or so of memory usage yet?
You don't know. He's using it on Windows.
I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
It's still, I mean, I've got a 6 gig machine at home that's still bothering me to start it up, and there it's sitting like 150 meg.
That's what I want to. That's what matters.
It's a glorified browser.
I use my Zoom software.
I think you need to go for re-education in here more often. Can you play Og?
No.
That was a
no,
inside joke.
Yeah, I get it. Songbird is pretty solid software. It's surprisingly good for
Well, if you think about it, Songbird was in development. I would say this is already second year.
Is it related to
Yeah.
Even that, I mean, it's pretty solid for 2 years.
I like it that it's cross-platform, so you get it on Windows or Mac or Linux, and it behaves the same.
Banshee,
yes. So there are quite a few articles about that. There was something about that Mahi. I guess Adam was trying a Mahi, so somebody wrote the article about it. Did you read it?
I shut down my Mahi service.
Oh, see, the Mahi is due for this today.
Mahi's out.
That's out. Next distribution.
Okay, we were talking about that that somebody's what's the name of it?
D-I-V-I-O.
Somebody is giving money to developers to develop this some funding. Okay, somebody's funding. PVT or PTV.
PTV.
PTV. So
it's, I or something.
It's the name is Colabra.
PTV.
And somehow there was a connection between Colabra and GStreamer. They are contributing a lot to GStreamer.
Yeah.
I don't know actually what is the Colabra's business model, but that's what they are doing.
That's non-linear video, I think.
It means that you can take a video and you chop it up into pieces, you drag the pieces into a timeline and you play it through. So, I don't know, I downloaded it to take a look at it, and it needs some funding.
Yeah.
I wasn't really impressed. I wasn't really impressed.
Well, it started about 1.5 years ago.
Yep.
And I would say, well, this spring it was still very much on a board,
now,
drawing board.
Here's the funny thing. Now this, I just absolutely cannot figure out what the heck happened here. I looked at some of the old screenshots. It had the features that it needs to make it better. And then they took out the features, like multi-tracks. They took out the ability to have multiple tracks. Like, why on earth would you do that? What are you thinking? I mean, that's... maybe it didn't work. I don't know. But, I mean, any good non-linear video editor has to have multiple tracks so you can mix the tracks together. And it only has a single track.
When we talk about video editors, there was an article about KDN Live.
That actually has a new beta out. I'm just going to download the
It is out.
Because I looked today.
It got out.
I looked at it on Tuesday.
It's 7.0 or 0.7.
The only annoying thing with that is it doesn't have any Fedora packages, so I got to download
and
isource and recompile it, including some of the dependencies, because the dependencies don't have Fedora packages either.
And dependencies are probably on KDE.
MLT. That's the library that they use to actually do the video editing itself.
Okay.
Like, that's pretty much the API for doing the video editing. And then
you were saying nobody is actually maintaining MLT. Is that correct?
That's what I pretty much got from the last time I looked at it. But
because when I
Live came out with a new version, so somebody must be doing something with it.
Because when I look in a changelog in 2.2, they actually switched to MLT, so it didn't come up with MLT. So
I don't know. KDN Live is still the best one that I've seen.
If you can render what you want.
If you don't want to use NTSC, and then the second best one I've seen is Open Movie Editor, if you can get that to work right.
That's the one that's made by.
Blender?
Main Actor?
Yeah,
that one, there is no Linux version.
There is not a Main Actor.
That was the only...
What's that one they make the movie, the cartoon movies on?
That Blender?
No, I'm looking at that. I'm looking at the 2D.
Did you try to edit something in a Blender? Because Blender is supposed to have...
Blender does have video editing as well.
Yeah, it does have video editing.
It's not really a full package like the other video editors. You pretty much have to make a directory structure that's got all your videos in the right format, and then Blender can read them in and edit it. I haven't messed with it. There's a lot of, you know, getting everything set up the right way before you can actually do it. I just haven't taken the time to figure that out.
I mean, yeah, I think it's sad states still with the video editing. So I'm happy that somebody is employing somebody to work on something.
Right. That said a lot there.
That
sounds like George Bush's economic plan.
Yeah. Somebody's working.
That was very decisive statement. You think?
Me think too. So I don't know. I'm gonna try that KDN Live and see if it's any better. Hopefully, it's good enough that it gets enough following that it gets some more people from the United States, so that they don't break NTSC and think it's a low priority bug for 7 months.
Well, you know, we are not going to have NTSC anymore since.
Well, we'll have NTSC.
Well, what it is, the high definition.
Yeah, the high def.
But it's a 30 frames per second instead of
but
funny thing.
Yeah, but it's still going to be 25 frames a second over there.
Is it?
Yes.
Do we use
but now there's the ATSC, and then there's another one for over in Europe for the high def. Like they actually took the NTSC has got a 29.97 frames per second. For high def, they actually upped it and made it into a 30.
Oh,
quite an improvement.
You will see quality improvement, but especially for
audio things, though, doesn't it? Like, how's audio is a little bit quicker than
third? I think
it depends on what you're actually doing. Like, if you're taking a like a movie. A movie is usually filmed at 24 frames a second.
Yeah. Open source.
Anything that's filmed is 24 frames a second.
Right.
So then if they're showing it over in Europe, they'll just up it to 25 and stretch the audio.
Okay.
Or they'll compress the audio slightly. What they'll do here is they'll actually use something called a 3-2 pull-down, where it'll actually take the frames and it'll have normal frame, and then an interleaved frame, so they can actually do the conversion between the 24 frames and the 30 frames. And then it keeps the audio, what does it do? I think it keeps the audio roughly the same. Like if you take one of your DVDs, and if you freeze frame it and go through the frames one by one, you'll have a clear frame, and then you'll have one that's actually got the two frames interlaced together. So you'll have it regular, and then the next one will have lines that go like this up. And that's that 3-2 pull-down.
That's for a time shift problem, or that's
because your DVD player is 29.97 frames a second, but the video is only 24 frames a second.
And that's why it blurs
together. Right, oh,
when it was originally filmed.
Yeah, so if they took it and actually played it on 30, everything would go quicker and you'd notice it. They actually do that on like sitcoms and such to get it to fit into the size. They'll randomly take out frames or they'll play frames twice. And they can add 3 to 4 minutes onto the end
without you knowing.
4 minutes off the end just by doing that.
Just as they could stick more ads to it.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I like it.
The radio station.
You like those ads,
huh? If you listen to the Clearwire stations, especially pop music, Clear Channel, especially pop music, like if you listen to Z100, a lot of the songs will sound higher pitched than the original versions. Because they plan with about like 120%, so they can fit in more commercials.
Yeah, I like it. And when you listen to those with MP3 on 128, it sounds perfect.
You can actually do the same thing on Mint TV. You can adjust the playback.
Yeah, I remember that.
I do that for football. I play it at 0.9.
That's what I mean.
If I want to get through something real quick, I'll put it at like 1.2 speed. And actually, you can put it at 2 speed, and you can still get the gist of what's going on if you want to watch it half the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's really fun watching Bob Ross at 2 times.
Oh my goodness!
It's really fun watching Bob.
You know what, son? I honestly think that they film it at that speed and then they have to slow it down for normal people. Especially when he cleans the brush. You know, it's like normally it's like.
Who the hell's Bob Ross?
Are
you kidding? He's that guy with the big frozen hands.
Oh, in the afternoon.
And the first thing I did when I got a Wii console was I went online and downloaded someone created
Bob Ross.
I have a Bob Ross Wii.
Somebody actually watches him?
Oh, yeah. We record a whole bunch of them.
This thing amazes me is some people buy him.
Oh, man, I don't know how you can suffer through him.
He's a good painter. You want a lot of pain?
Maybe must be, because I sure don't see it.
And it's entertaining.
It is so entertaining.
Just watch it a couple times, you'll be entertained.
All right, about as much as cooking shows.
They used to have drinking games at a tavern up north. Amanda was telling me, where every time he said happy something, they would take a drink, and they were just wasted by the end of the show.
Yeah, I can believe it, man.
Shall we keep on going?
All right. Nah, let's just talk about the same things.
I'm back
to
background.
Yes.
Beautiful.
And you were wasting like 20 minutes with that. There was some kind of news about WPA stuff. Did somebody read it?
Yes.
Yeah, kind of.
Oh, really?
There's not... It's pretty
big here.
Yeah. You have to... First of all, you have to be using WPA1 with TKIP, and then you have to have quality of service turned on, and then they can't actually decipher most packets, they can only decipher short packets. But WPA2 is still fairly secure, or is still secure as far as they know.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That they're taking for that so far.
That's too much math for me.
Yeah. So it's like you use like average for a bunch of characters. Yeah.
Cool. The another thing was last week I was talking that there was the open week, Ubuntu open week, and I was on IRC. So this is actually pretty much transcript of that IRC conversation. That wasn't between me and him. It was so it was very interesting. So if somebody wants to know where is Ubuntu heading or where the Linux is going to go, because not that Shuttleworth and Canonical has too much. I mean, has some influence. So if one person is doing one thing, then mostly, you know, if other people think that it's good stuff, so they go do that too. So it was pretty interesting. From miscellaneous articles, we have automated processing tools for better digital pictures. You read it?
They were fairly simple tools, but there's some good stuff there.
Yeah. There was something about how did it read?
Dybolt.
This is GPL and
free. Yeah, I heard about that. I was there.
Yeah. Bunch of George Bush's cronies that run those companies. It is. I watched an independent movie on that. It was pretty interesting.
Yeah. Just as Georgie would be elected again.
So I didn't actually read this article. I'd heard about this before. Did they say, what exactly did they say?
They are using some kind of library.
GoScript. I know they're using GoScript.
Yes, GoScript. That's what it is all about. GoScript, which...
Why the heck are they using GoScript?
Why they don't license something? Because they don't have money.
Why do you need that on a
bonus?
Because of paper trail.
Oh, they're creating their results in PDF form with it. Gotcha.
Okay. But you know, if
you want to drink that?
And no. It's a PDF render.
But if they are,
I can.
You know, they're selling one of those machines for $10,000. Why they are using GoScript, they can, can't they afford to buy a license for whatever is the
commercial? Adobe?
Yeah, Adobe?
You wouldn't want Adobe on a voting machine.
I don't know. You know, everything's proprietary there. Everything is locked down and tight, and you even cannot sneeze at it because you'll go to jail.
No, that's exactly right. Their whole software is all, they claim it's proprietary, so
absolutely.
Nobody can see it.
Yep.
Which, I mean, that seems as corrupt as it gets for a public system.
Here's what I always thought.
Just use everybody, paper like I do.
Everybody voted for George W. Bush from the voting machine.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you voted for somebody else.
Here's what I always thought. I thought you should have the machine, and then you plug it into three computers. You plug the input into three computers and the output from the three computers. You have one open source, and then you have two companies that you farm it out to. If any one of those comes up with the wrong number, you know who to blame. And that will keep everybody in line. And then you have the one open source one that's run by the community that'll probably always be right. And then no worries, because as soon as one is wrong, they'll go after it.
This is
paper is the only way to go. That's it.
This is what it is. I did vote the first thing at 7 o'clock. When I went there was like half of the block people. It was still not open. When they opened, we got there, I was out of it in 15 minutes. All what you needed to do, you just needed to connect the dots, and you needed to feed the optical scanner.
Here.
There was, then there are people who are going through those electronic machines. They were saying it was so confusing. They had to go through 7 or 8 screens, and it took the one person 5 minutes to do that.
See, and that's not what I heard about the electronic voting machines from somebody who would use them.
Well, that's what I heard.
Well, there's different machines too in different areas.
Yeah. So you know, you have a paper trail, you have an electronic optical scanner. So you know, you have all what you need there. No, it's not expensive. You need only one machine. You know, I mean,
this also isn't a major metropolitan area.
But it was pretty fast. You know,
here in a non-major metropolitan or non-metropolitan area. But I mean, if you go like to a large city, yeah, it's going to be that quick.
Fire, you could have 30 of those booths. Paper on them.
Yes.
Yeah. Feeding the two machines as opposed to having a $40,000 voting machine.
Yes.
and it takes people longer.
I don't give a shit what you do with electronics. You're going to be able to corrupt it. Somebody's going to be able to get to it.
Paper is paper.
You know.
Those old voting machines were pushed through somehow. I can't remember how this thing went, but they were pushed through by, I can't remember what it was. It was some big outfit that had a large financial incentive to use those machines. I mean, to say, hey, Diebold needs these great big fancy $40,000 electronic machines, when in essence you need those little tiny paper readers that don't cost anything.
You know, they might cost you, you know, $5,000 at one, but you need only one per voting booth,
right?
For voting city.
Right.
So
in the political world, if you want to make a lot of friends, you know, you hire the company that's going to charge $40,000, and then you get a large kickback.
Yeah. Well, in our
Microsoft Access or something.
What?
Were a lot of those using like Microsoft Access or something?
Yeah.
So they could just like, you know, plug in a thumb drive and basically hack the whole thing. They're just looking at
it. Oh, don't worry. They had an antivirus on them.
Yeah.
You are safe.
Nobody took responsibility for it, but it was on there.
Yeah. Okay, let's keep on going. There was an article about the clip art for Open Office.
They just need some like nice plugin that goes out and gets it from all the websites instead of going out on the website. Oh, I can download 3 pictures from this package and 3 from this, because nobody's going to do
that. No, there's a site.
There's a plugin that
like prints it out. Preferred.org or something.
Well, that they've got hundreds.
Well, what's this? Maybe that's what this is.
That if you list to that.
It directed you to the websites.
Yeah. There's another thing. There's a thing for like WordPress is a popular blog platform software, and there's a plugin for that, which basically you type in the keyword, and it'll, you know, you type in this, you know, word, computers or whatever, and it'll direct you, or it'll bring you a screen that'll give you a wealthy free images of things that you're.
But I agree with you that it probably needs to be integrated. It needs to be as a plugin, as a PDF plugin.
Right.
That I want to have an XYZ clip art, so I don't actually have to go to website one.
And you actually need a search where you can actually search through it.
Yeah, that's what this one does, and that's, I don't know, that is,
there was a wine release, they said it improved memory management. I'm using wine right now. We're talking about the build wizard. So I guess you are going to be using
I was going to get that build wizard, and it turns out I need like 86 megabytes worth of dependencies in order to use it. So whatever, I let it go, and I never got around to checking it out because that took a little while. But I'm going to try it out eventually and see if I can't get it built.
What does it do? Make your thing look like KDE or what?
Well, that builds the KDN Live package for that video editor.
Oh, it's not anything to do with KDE.
No.
Oh, okay.
It's the name KDE and Live. Don't ask what it means.
Did anyone see, it's not Wine, but there's a company that builds kind of a customized version of Wine. Yeah.
It's
the gaming one.
No, there's another one.
Crossover.
Yeah, they're the cities, aren't they?
Yeah, they're the cities. I forget what deal was.
Are you talking about the lame.coffer?
Yeah, the lame.coffer.
It was because it was like a year ago, he set like 6 or 7 milestones. So if this ever happens, if Bush can pull his head out of his ass and, you know, pull troops out of Iraq, lower gas prices, do like this and that, and there are 5 things, and if he did any one of them, that he would offer
crash the economy.
He wasn't
there too. He achieved that for sure.
He was working
hard on it for 8 years,
and
finally, he delivered
Windows, Mac, and Linux for free for a day.
Oh, for a day.
You can get it that day.
You got a code for one day, but it's worth getting it for the whole year.
Yeah, yeah.
Like basically a 6 month subscription for free.
Yeah.
Is it 6 months or was it a year subscription?
6 months subscription.
The Bush's plan worked.
Yes.
Crossover office.
Spread economy out.
Well, he will be a great president.
MySQL server is not.
So say you can get anything from you. So.
We have a. create a few how-tos. So there was a how to convert FLAC to AUG. There was some better program which did it. The last step was to delete your FLAC file, which I don't know why we would do that.
Save space.
Oh, yeah, well, once when I rip it to FLAC.
The reason you made the FLAC files, yeah, like people.
How to go to ISO, how you convert image files to ISO. Sometimes you can find that.
CD to ISO.
Yeah, sometimes
you can do that instead of FLAC, you just store on CD to ISO.
Yeah, but sometimes you can find image files, so. There was a backup Ubuntu server with a system imager. Another backup thing. Can we keep it going?
Okay.
Just checking.
Got to run. See you guys next week.
Thanks
all right,
for coming.
Bye-bye.
Use remote desktop on Ubuntu. That was actually if you want to remotely control somebody else's computer, that would be for support. You know, you are somewhere that
looked actually kind of neat.
Somewhere, yeah. So you enable it, and let's say me or
you take right
Byron,
over.
Byron, you can actually.
Now, how's that different than SSH?
Yes, VNC.
Well, a couple things. Remote desktop, it actually takes over the desktop. Versus SSH, where you're actually, you pretty much have your own environment. So like with remote desktop, this PC would like blank out and you get my exact desktop as it was on this PC. Whereas SSH, you know, you'd be at a command line and you could run a graphical program. It would forward all the X commands to you that you started, but I could still be using the PC.
Oh, okay. So it's quite a bit different then.
Yeah.
It's like SSH, you're running
the
your
true multi-user.
Yeah,
exploring on SSH. That's a true multi-user. You can have multiple people logged into the PC doing different things at once.
Right.
Remote desktop isn't. It's here over the keyboard, mouse, and monitor.
But that would be, I think that it was geared for that kind of thing.
Yeah, like if I gave my friend an Ubuntu box and it broke down, I could fix it all the way over the phone.
Mainly, the biggest thing is Windows uses remote desktop. Windows comes with remote desktop by default. So if you're going to interact with all recent versions of Windows come with remote desktop.
Prove it.
And actually, I don't know.
So you could, then this could work with Windows too, is that the...
Right, that's the big deal.
Show
because
us.
You can actually remote desktop into a Windows box and you can use the...
Remote desktop.
If you have to use Windows,
that's really nice. You have to buy, like, now you have to go buy a desktop version or something. If you buy the home versions, you won't get...
XP's got them. XP does, and you can download them. You can download them for like 2000 as well.
Yeah, there was a package for it, yes.
I don't think
every issue on the newsletter is controversial in this group, isn't it?
No, it's so that trend is brown, and everybody can start arguing.
I don't know, maybe up until 7, which we're on 8,
it's still crashing,
like 8, 10,
we could use it more, but...
Use remote desktop and virtual machine and Windows 2000 to connect to work. That way, work is separate from my PC, because I don't want the work network touching my PC, they don't want my PC touching the work network, so everyone's happy.
Okay, it's 100% of work, but I don't necessarily believe it's more stable.
Shall we keep on going?
Yeah, let's move on a little bit.
Let's move on. I'm happy that they have remote this time. And, great. There was an article, VMware Server, how to install VMware Server 1.7.
I was going to ask you.
2.0.
Huh?
VMware Server 2.0.
Yeah, but if you are still using 1.0, so then...
Use virtual
devices
better.
Use
virtual
devices,
yeah.
If you're, well,
if
you're my opinion.
Okay, let's keep on moving.
That's what you're using it for. If you're running a server in the background.
If you have a server that you need to run, virtual machines on, you can use a server. If you have a desktop,
you can work with VirtualBox.
VirtualBox is so much faster, in my opinion, than the server. But if you need stuff to start up when a server does, and run consistently,
then. Unless it's a write-down script.
What? I don't see what the issue is with VirtualBox. You can run it headless just like you can the
Edmund. Yeah, it's true.
It just comes out.
You can download 600 megs or 18 megs, whichever you prefer.
If you go to server 2, you have to download 700 megs, but you have to run like a whole Java server.
So then why would you...
Tomcat for a whole Tomcat installation.
Tomcat is...
Why would you suggest VMware server over VirtualBox?
Actually,
it's easily set up as
interesting. Okay, shall we keep on going? I think we have only two more things.
Really interesting to me because I'm going to be looking at this week setting up a UT server, either VirtualBox or
if I would be you, I would take VMware.
I would take VirtualBox.
It depends on
our It's on a server. It's on a dedicated server.
VMware.
Do you virtualizing?
And the
person.
And
the
yeah. It's fuzzy, I think it's media rate 5.
It also depends on
the here's the other thing, if you're going to be accessing your server from a different machine, the nice thing about server 2 is you've got everything's a web interface, so you don't have to sit for a server.
It's so slow. But it's so nice. It's so slow.
Well, the thing is that if in 1.1 series, you actually had to install the, for the server, you had to install the GUI.
Yeah, the one series is totally different from the 2 series.
So that's very nice if on 2 series, I didn't have to install any GUI on it.
Exactly.
And even though it's slow.
By GUI, you mean like web interface by Tomcat.
Yeah, even though if it's slow, most likely I administer the server through SSH anyway.
Exactly.
So if I need to do, if I need to go there, well, I can suffer, a little bit.
I'm only thinking, when I say slow, I mean like if you're running Windows host, it's going to be slow if you're doing the whole console thing.
What I've got is a virtual server I run at VMware. I use VirtualBox on my laptop. I use VirtualBox on my other machine actually to run Google Studio. So if it's the desktop OS that I'm going to use over VirtualBox.
What the hell are you all doing over there?
If you need to run Windows, use VirtualBox. If you need to run Linux-based things, VMware. So get smoke in here.
What are you doing?
I'm going to go smoke a cigarette.
Oh, I didn't know it would be so fancy.
Making his own.
I see. Like, I'm making my own beer, so you think you're
cool. Look, we should understand the making your own concept.
The do it yourself.
Okay. He's going to make those little rubber things and pack it in.
That's what he
has. Yeah.
Arch Linux?
Isn't Arch Linux the revolver?
You can't just roll your own Linux.
See you guys next week!
Drive safe.
Well, it's not as much roll your own Linux as a different idea than a release.
Yeah, it's more learning experience, really. It's not.
Well, it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be like a different concept of having an always up-to-date.
This is what happens. You reboot, and after update, you cannot find your bootloader.
That's our nice. It's a very learning experience. It's not directly really useful.
I mean, some people love it. Most likely they're very experienced and very well-versed people in that area.
Would it make sense to us, man? lately I've been a big bunch of server. It's a little bit more updated.
I would say my statement might not, some people might not like it, but who runs Arch Linux probably don't have a kid at home. They have just way too much time on the other hand.
No, what do you think? That's fun. So that would be when you do have kids. Dad, come play. Hang on. Okay, it's compiling. I got it for like 4 hours.
Well, 2 days. Let's do that. Well, maybe you are right. Yeah, maybe my statement was not correct. Thank you.
Well, time to update. Yay! Daddy's updated.
CentOS 4.
Careful.
We have some Oracle stuff running. We have 3 CentOS 5 servers in the where you were?
You don't have to say it. We are recording. Thank you. Let's keep on moving. There is a how to capture sound using Audacity in CentOS. I guess it was more how you do the stuff.
Apparently that didn't work since Adam couldn't capture sound in Audacity. That was not CentOS, but...
Yeah, that was...
This one is all right, forever. Never mind.
You know what, Gposher's working just fine, though. I think it's because it's plugged into the G-Sync.
And then how to set up VSC server with a Ubuntu RD parent. That was actually, that's the last, its previous release.
So just a standard desktop VSC server, or is it an actual server machine VSC server?
I think it's on...
like point click, turn the VSC server on.
I don't know. I think it's like...
It's pretty automatic. You can take something.
I think it is it's just because whatever they have here, that's just the client. So if I want to connect somewhere, if I want to go connect to your machine, you would have to install it as a server.
Where it is actually, is it system preferences, remote desktop. There's a little remote desktop preferences. It says allow other users to do a desktop.
Yeah. So that's
because I see yours whenever I look at our wireless network, Adam's remote desktop.
He's the man. He actually, in wherever I work, which I don't know where I work, he actually has a node on a network, and it has his name, Matt. He's the man. You know, I try to get into it. And it says that I didn't have access.
So you should never advertise your name on the network. That just can never end good.
Yeah.
I
got that installed. Yeah, he was supposed to call it Carol Net.
Carol Net?
If you go to...
I
install the whole thing with that. Here's the studio.
Oh.
Over my photo snippet.
Yeah.
Well, that's Carol. About it for a newsletter. Excuse me?
It's probably still there forever.
It was there. I checked it out again. It was still there.
What it is, it's the Samba group that my virtual machine is on. So when I get into work, that it's still into the work network too.
Yes. And of course, Samba never cleans it out.
No.
Why would it? No.
Yeah, why would it? Yeah. It might come back. We'll just leave it there just in case.
Absolutely. So,
until you reboot.
What's still there? Oh, once in a while, if I connect to work from my virtual machine, and it's on my virtual machine's also.
The master browser will list.
It's on my home Samba network, my Windows groups, my Windows group will show at work, and I just want it. Whereas everybody else calls their, never changes it, so it's a work group or whatever, it's the default. Mine I actually have set up as a work group that I hate.
Showing off your prowess.
That's right.
I can change the name of my shares.
So what I'm going to do with the network here?
We'll have it next week, I think.
Okay, I think we will have it next week. Is somebody going to bring like 100 feet of Cam 5?
Don't trust me over there.
Are you going to run 100 feet?
Yeah.
And then maybe we can run it
just
all the way
to the back.
We
should
probably run it.
Thank you for listening to Hack Republic Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.